Welcome to the Play Nation podcast. This is episode 35. I am one of your hosts, Joe Quinn, and I am alongside, as per always, the king of PlayStation, the one, the only, the magical, Micah Magruder. Micah, it's so great to be with you. How the hell are you?
Hey, Joe. I am doing great, but just one small thing there. This is actually episode 36. So we already did episode 35 a month ago, probably a month and a half ago, but now we are on an additional number. I didn't know if you knew how that worked or not. So I just want to make you aware. That's all, Joe.
No, that's my fault, Micah. That's a great way. It's always great to start the episode with a typo, right? That's always my favorite, exactly. Especially when you've been, as you mentioned, Micah, you know, look, you've been gone for a month, right? Everyone, I mean, look, this is episode 36, by the way, which is, dare I say, I mean, it's one more impressive than 35. So 35.
I agree.
35 is pretty impressive, but not nearly as impressive as 36, Micah. But either way, as you mentioned right there, we've been gone for a little bit. This is even more funny, Micah, because it's been too long. I even wrote in my notes, right, just for the beginning of the episode, I just put a little note. It says, I hope I still remember how to do this. Right, so adding episodes by one, we'll see. Micah, how do you feel, right? How do you feel? I mean, do you feel good coming back here, episode 36? How are you feeling?
I do feel good because, you know, lately it's been a thing of being on calls that, you know, I don't want to be there, but it's about topics that I don't necessarily want to talk about, right?
Right.
So this conversation I have with you, and, you know, we chat all the time, and, you know, we definitely talk about a lot of different things beyond PlayStation and gaming, but when you and I get together like this, it's fun. It's a good conversation to have. It's actually really feels nice to be able to be on the, you know, it's almost like being on the phone talking to an old friend or something like that, right? So it actually feels good. It doesn't make me feel burned out. Rejuvenating is what I'm going to be feeling at the end of this episode.
Yeah, it's so nice because I don't know about you, Micah, but, you know, just in terms of day-to-day life, it's really difficult to find, you know, someone to just sort of talk video games with, right, and just talk, you know, whether it's, you know, about what have you. So you're right. This is rejuvenating. This is refreshing. And it is, in fact, good, if not great, to be back in the saddle. Right. So before we jump into topics and housekeeping and all that stuff, Micah, update, if you would be so kind, and I'll do the same as well. Update the listeners on, you know, what's been going on in the world of Micah. All the Play Nation out there is thirsty to know, Micah, what's going on in your life? Give them an update on what's going on.
Yeah, I've had a very busy past few months, unfortunately, with work, really kind of making me reevaluate a lot of the fatigue I've been feeling. It's kind of been slowly growing on me and catching up to the point where it's like, okay, I know it's there. I can name it. And it's not that I, you know, am ready to, you know, quit my job and become a hermit or anything like that, but I'm just at least naming what the problem is and understanding what the issue is. This idea of work-life balance and things like that. The things I'm working on with work are work-related things. They're objectives. There are patients that need to have this kind of stuff done. There is a lot of different clients who expect things. So those are, you know, what pays me. But then there's the stuff that actually makes Micah happy, that actually lifts Micah's soul and things like that. And not that work doesn't do that at all by any means, right? Work definitely does that occasionally, knowing that you've done a good job. But there are things where you want to be able to educate yourself on learning new things. So I've actually been doing a lot of different programming, believe it or not. So it may seem like it's a thing that isn't necessarily unrelated to my job. You know, I do occasional programming, but I'm finding a zen to it, and I'm actually enjoying it. And I'll be finding myself participating in November. I don't know whether or not I'll publish it for everybody to see, but I have been working on game development using a couple different frameworks for you know, obviously on PC or Mac, you know, won't be on PlayStation anytime soon. But there will be a game jam in November sponsored by itch.io. The theme will be revealed, I think, in a couple days. So I'm actually making a point of all the tutorials I've read, everything I've known so far that I've been playing around with. Let's just jam and make something. So I'm going to actually try it. And that's one of those things that's kind of relating to what, you know, you and I talk about, what makes a great game. And I got to say, you know, it's one of those things that I've already gone through seeing some of the code, and in my head, it's like, oh, that's easy. But when it comes down to putting it to paper, right, to actually write it out, stuff's not easy at all, right? It's really not. It really does take, like, you know, even to get a single A game out there, like a really good game, I mean, you have to put your heart and soul into it. So it always amazes me when people like Concerned Ape produces on their own time Stardew Valley, because that's just a great, amazing story of somebody putting love to work there. And it's not necessarily a dream or goal of mine, but certainly an aspiration of like, that's a great thing to do. And if whether I make something amazing like that or not, or if I just keep piddling around and playing, I don't know. I'm having fun, and that's what I want to do. That's mainly what I've been focused on. If I had to pick all the different things I'm dabbling in, I've actually been very, very focused on that. The idea of programming, improving my skills there, because whether it translates to video game development, which, you know, that's where I'm having fun with it, or just, you know, another job doing, you know, code for, you know, business logic and stuff like that. I don't know, but I'm having fun with that.
Well, Micah, I mean, that's pretty inspirational stuff, just from the perspective of, you know, being able to develop a game. I mean, number one, game development is intensely difficult. I've obviously never developed a game, maybe outside of something on Cube Basic, if there's any MS-DOS nerds out of there, right? So, but it's insanely difficult, and it's also insanely creative, which, I mean, one of the things that, you know, I'm always saying, whether it's on Twitter or whatever, right, is that you need to have a hobby. You need to be doing something creative. There needs to be a creative output in your life, because if you don't have a creative output in your life, then life becomes very sort of analog. It becomes very sort of black and white, and it becomes very dry and boring. And that eventually will begin to weigh on you, right? So in other words, that will then eventually become to be, a real burden, right? So you need a splash of color in your life. And I mean, game development, I mean, look, it's one of the reasons why, Mike, I love this podcast. It's one of the reasons why I love video games. It's one of the reasons why, just to be able to express yourself with something that you're passionate about. So that's, Micah, that's awesome. Just to give a update on what I've been up to over the last month or so. And, you know, if I had to pick one thing, I mean, there's several things, and much like yourself, Micah, and you know this, we talk about this off the air, but I started a new job, and you know, that new job has been intensely demanding, right? You know, 8-10 hour days, not uncommon. So that's been taking up a lot of my time. But if I had to pick one thing, Micah, is that I've really doubled down. And this is also to do with just sort of, you know, finding your center, right? And just sort of finding, you know, what's going to sort of keep that even keel in life. What I've sort of resorted to has really been exercise, diet, and just really living a much more healthy lifestyle. And so, like, I've been very, very serious about that over the last, I want to say, we'll say about 45 to 60 days, right? Almost 2 months, I guess. Yeah, and it's been incredible. Been working on it for a while. So that's kind of what's been helping me, because, you know, same deal. I mean, I much like yourself, Micah, much like a lot of America right now and the rest of the world, working from home, you don't get out a lot. You don't leave the house a lot. And that has translated to a real stir crazy and really some unhealthy kind of habits and stuff like that. So getting back on the right track has been, you know, really positive in that way. So, Mike, if I had to pick one thing, I'd say that's about one thing I've been really knee deep in over the last couple months.
That's great. That's something, one of those things I have been dabbling in. But the fact that you've been doing it consistently for 45, 60 days, that's exactly how you build new habits, right? Mm-hmm. Is you just keep doing it. You do it when you don't want to. You do it when you do want to. You just keep doing it every day. You just get a little bit better, right? And that's how it gets easier, right? The hard part is doing it, right? Right. That's always the hard part, is just doing it. So that's great. Good on you for doing that.
Yeah.
Very inspirational for me, because it's something I want to include in my daily regimen of, whether it's 5 minutes or it's 50 minutes, just move, just sweat a little bit, and make it worth it.
Yeah. I mean, the first week is definitely the hardest. Once you get past the first week, then it becomes very much easier. But like, I spent, like, you know, it was like a week or two just eating right. No exercise, nothing like that. just eating right, right? Just sort of having a change in diet and all that stuff, fewer calories, more vegetables, all that stuff, right? Just living sort of a healthier life. And then after moving from that, then starting to include maybe a half hour on the exercise bike, you know, and now including weightlifting and all this stuff. So it's been going well, Micah. But look, this believe it or not, this is in fact a PlayStation podcast, right? So, and we have three topics to discuss, as we always do, Micah. But before we get into those topics, just pointing it out, look, obviously, with our past episodes, we've been seeing a lot of success. So we know that we have the listeners out there who love the nation, who join the nation every time we drop an episode. If you're not one of those people, and this is actually your first episode, if episode 36 is number one for you, look, you're number one to us, okay? So thank you very much for listening. Hope you enjoy the show. Please continue to listen as we drop episodes. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever podcasts are found, so that this way, look, when we decide we're going to drop an episode, you know, you got to be notified. If you're not notified, then you're going to be in the dark. And if you're in the dark, you're out of luck, right? So leave leave a positive review if you so desire. We're also on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the like. We have a Discord and a Twitch, right? And all the handles for basically everything is /PlayNationPod, right? So find us on Twitter at PlayNationPod. You can find me on Twitter at JoeJohnQuinn. Micah, where can they find you on Twitter?
MagicMicah85.
The best Twitter on the internet, without question, right? So so look us up there. Make sure you give us a follow. Give us a shout on the socials. Micah, are you ready to hop into the first topic here? Well, by the way, here, before we hop into the first topic, Micah, I should probably tell people what the topics are. Here's what we're going to be talking about today. Topic one, PlayStation PC has been finally announced. I mean, all of the console warriors out there, the really hardcore console warriors, their brains right now, Micah, they're exploding. They can't handle it. PlayStation on PC, I thought I bought the console for a reason. Very upset, Micah. Topic two is going to be the state of play. We were going to talk about the state of play first, Micah, but the state of play felt so underwhelming. It got bumped down to topic two. We'll talk about the state of play and what that means. And as well, topic three, Micah, is, and this is a question, but I don't know if, you know, we're just framing it this way, really, like, what is the game of the year? Because there is a game out there that won its first Game of the Year award, and it is Returnal. And this has been, Micah, I like framing it this way because Returnal has been my Game of the Year basically all year. So topic three, almost like Returnal versus the field in terms of what actually is the Game of the Year. This has been a weird year for games, Micah. You know, let's just talk about that as we get towards the end of the year. I'm sure we'll do a whole topic dedicated to Game of the Year. But I think this is a good jumping off point, Micah. Are we ready to get started here?
Let's do this.
Topic one, PlayStation PC has been announced. This story, Micah, if you can ever believe we'd have a story from this publication, this story from PC Gamer. Sony appears to have created a new PlayStation PC label for its ports, switching over from the old PlayStation Mobile label. It doesn't actually change much right now, simply being a publisher name change on Steam, right? It looks like Sony hasn't gotten around to making the switch on every game yet. They checked God of War. It's still showing PlayStation Mobile as the publisher, but hopefully it's an indication of a stronger dedication to PC as a platform, which, Micah, I think that, you know, of all the things, and we'll talk about it, this is really about the dedication that it shows to PC. The article continues, we've been seeing a steady increase of PlayStation exclusive games making their way over to the likes of Steam and Epic. Sony expressed a desire to release more games on PC back in 2020 following the ports of Death Stranding and Horizon Zero Dawn. We also had Days Gone arrive this year, and in future we'll see Uncharted 4, Uncharted The Lost Legacy, and if you can believe it or not, God of War. That's the most recent God of War. Sony scooped up Nix's software a few months back too, and that's a studio that's helped with a handful of the ports, such as Crystal Dynamics, moving over games to PC and the such, so they do have a little experience with that. Sony Interactive Entertainment president Jim Ryan, our fearless leader, told GQ earlier this year that, quote, a whole slate, end quote, of PlayStation games are due to make their way over here eventually, though he kept pretty quiet about which ones would get the port treatment and what the timetable would be. And then the article continues that they believe The Last of Us would be a fantastic choice. I agree, Micah, that would be a fantastic choice. But, you know, as we take a look at this, right? So PlayStation PC, this is the new developer label that PlayStation is now choosing to attach to all of these games that it's porting over to PC. Does this show dedication to the PC platform? Does this show, you know, that in the future, if you're on PC, you can expect PlayStation games to come eventually to your platform? Or is this just a name and, you know, it really doesn't mean anything, right? So, Michael, what say you?
Now, this is a shift. I mean, it really is a monumental shift. And I think it goes to the credit to the development team at Sony Bend, who did a great job porting Days Gone. I think that was kind of Sony's first chance testing the waters of doing PC ports. And then, was it Days Gone or was it Horizon? But either way, the fact that they did it once, they did it twice, now they've realized this is a moneymaker. This is a place where we can go. You know, I was reading some interesting statistics out there that according to NPD Group's player pulse, only about 1/3 of PC players in the United States own a PS4 and only 8% of them own a PS5. That is a lot of people just in the US alone that do not have a PlayStation, obviously aren't interested in the PlayStation, because if 1/3 of PC players, they could own a PS4, no problem. But this is a chance to be able to provide that group of people amazing great content that is no longer in play on the main platform anymore. I mean, God of War at this point, coming out to PC, it's been 3 years at this point. I'm not hurting for that. And quite honestly, I may be in the minority here that I wouldn't even care if Sony did games day one. And that's going to be a debate coming up, because I think that's one of the big worries is that, oh no, what's the point in me having a PlayStation? Well, why did you get a PlayStation? You got a PlayStation because you like playing games on your couch. You don't like playing games at your PC. If you did, you'd be a PC gamer. And in my opinion, if Sony were releasing day one on PC and PlayStation, buy whichever one you want. Buy them both. Buy neither. The point being, I think this is great for people who are never going to get a chance to get Sony IP to experience Sony IP. And it's a good chance for the PlayStation brand to be able to keep expanding too.
You know, Micah, I think you make a tremendous amount of great points here. And I'll start with, so I obviously have a couple of points that I wrote down here, but I really want to talk about what you're bringing up here, because I think it's really important. And, you know, it's really eye-opening for me, because PC is surely the biggest platform, right? So in other words, if you were to say, what's the biggest console, right? If you include PC in the console wars, PC is clearly the biggest console in the world, right? I mean, every person who owns a smartphone, that's basically a PC. It's funny that PlayStation was using PlayStation Mobile as the developer, right? Going into this, now it's PlayStation PC, but it used to be PlayStation Mobile because it's, you know, look, it's such a huge and massive platform that extends all the way to your smartphone. Now, that said, right, of how big it is, right, this is such a smart money-making move for Sony, right, because they're going to make a ton of money selling these games that have essentially played out their entire sort of life cycle on PlayStation. Like Horizon Zero Dawn was a great example. Death Stranding, they mentioned, was another good example. Days Gone is probably the best example, just because, like, nobody else is buying it on PlayStation. If you own a PlayStation 4 or a PlayStation 5 and you were going to buy Horizon Zero Dawn or Days Gone or what have you, you already own it. And not only that, if you own a PlayStation 5, half of them are for free under the PlayStation collection, right?
Exactly.
For PlayStation and Sony to be able to reach out and sort of get all of these extra sales, it's such a financially savvy move for Sony. But Micah, I want to talk directly to the people who particularly don't like this, right? In other words, because there are a lot of people who sort of, they don't like the notion of PlayStation games on PC. And then you have another set of people who really think that all games should be agnostic. Right. In other words, games should be available. All games should be available everywhere. And that was kind of what I wanted to bring up, Micah, because I think they're both dead wrong. Right. So this is a situation where I think both sides are totally out of their minds in a way. And I think there's just a silent majority of people who just probably don't really, you know, care as much as, you know, the extreme sides do. But like here, the notion that every game should be available everywhere is totally nuts. Of course, there should be exclusives. Of course, PlayStation should have games that when they come out, they're only available on PlayStation, and maybe some games that are only on available on PlayStation forever, right? And the rationale behind that is that if you really think about it, Micah, if exclusives didn't ever exist, right, Nintendo would have stopped making hardware, you know, way before the Wii U, that's for sure, right? So, because ultimately, if Mario was just available on PlayStation, Nintendo hardware sales would absolutely plummet, and you would not own a Nintendo Switch, right? So if you love your Switch, right, you can thank, I mean, you can thank a lot of things for that, but one of the things that helps provide the Nintendo Switch is Nintendo exclusives, right? So exclusives make sense. They move hardware. It's great IP recognition and all this stuff, all the brand loyalty business that a lot of people probably don't particularly like to hear, but it moves units and it keeps businesses going, and PlayStation has to sell PS4s and PS5s, and the way that they're going to do that is the next Last of Us game, and it's only available on PlayStation. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be just steadfast on that forever, of course. And that's why I like this PC rollout, because it's mostly games that are, you know, eventually, you know, that have run their life cycle on PlayStation and then they go to PC. Which, Micah, brings me to my last point, which is sort of that, you know, the other side of the coin, which is that, like, you get the PlayStation, the ponies out there, right? The Sony ponies, right? I'm probably one of them, one of the biggest Sony ponies in history, right? So, but the notion that, well, The Last of Us should never touch another platform, or God of War should never touch another platform. When I buy a PlayStation, there's a certain amount of privilege. There's a certain amount of, you know, loyalty that goes with that, that, you know, mm-hmm. I get to play these games and nobody else does. And that's also totally insane, right? Because I understand, like, there's going to be exclusives and you're going to have benefits to owning the PlayStation and owning and being there first. And you got boots on the ground. You're literally there first. But the notion that these games should never go anywhere else is actually, you're actually hurting the company that you're supposedly so loyal to. You're taking away all those PC sales. If you're a Sony pony, why would you hurt Sony like that by taking away these tremendous PC sales, you know, 5 years after, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn comes out, Micah? So that was kind of what I wanted to sort of touch on, was just that notion that, you know, the extreme sides of the argument have just been probably blown away. Both sides are probably very angry with this decision, I'll say.
Yeah, I like the middle ground of people who seem to be like, this is good, you know? Yeah. This is actually a really good thing. There's a lot of people out there who don't have a PlayStation for whatever reason. Maybe they absolutely hate Sony, you know, for whatever reason. But they get a chance to play these great games. But, you know, there is something that, you know, some people will have to remember here. These PC players, they're never going to experience a platinum trophy, right? It's just not going to happen for them, it seems. All they get is those nice little Steam achievements or whatever Epic Game Store has. But this actually leads me to wonder, why wouldn't Sony take this as an opportunity to build their own store? You know, sell right. to Steam if you want to, sell to the Epic Game Store. But if this is a platform they're taking seriously, and we saw it in some of those investor charts that they look at a lot of different markets, like in Asia and in South America, as different growth opportunities, and the PC is the gateway to doing that, why wouldn't they build a platform of their own and keep all the sales to themselves? I mean, right now, Epic Game Store gets a 30% cut, Steam gets a 30% cut, or whatever it is, right? Why wouldn't they want 100% of that to themselves? I got this feeling, you know, that based on a lot of the business reasons that they went into this, really, it's all money, which, you know, the most cynical person will say, of course you're doing this for money. Why wouldn't they do this for money? This is a business. It's what they do. They don't do this for charity. You know, it'd be great if there was that gaming company that did everything for charity. It's called Humble Bundle. Make sure you buy from them. But you should also look at this from the opportunity that Sony has here to be able to build this platform of games and get into this development environment. And I think it just makes the PlayStation experience better, right? You obviously are going to have mods that eventually come out for some of these games. Some people are going to be trying to hack them and modify them, which will be funny. You know, because I'm seeing some memes about Thomas the Tank Engine mods for God of War. So it'll be actually really interesting to see if people are able to do anything like that in the future, too.
You know, I think this is an American PlayStation. I think this is PlayStation becoming more and more American by the day because, you know, I think old PlayStation, old, you know, beginning of the PS3 generation PlayStation would never do this, right? The whole notion of mm-hmm. it was all about proprietary this and proprietary that, right? The old PlayStation that had proprietary Vita memory cards, you know what I mean? Like the old PlayStation, I don't think would ever do this. So this is, I mean, we're seeing this more of a, it's a globalized PlayStation, and I love the notion that God of War going to PC. I mean, could there even possibly be a bigger advertisement to buy a PS5 than God of War on PC? Because obviously when Ragnarok drops, you know, and you just got done playing God of War 2016, like that is the biggest advertisement to go get a PS5 ever. It's just like, you want to be there on day one now.
Yeah.
So it's like, I was going to make the joke. I was like, it's like handing out cigarettes at a high school. It's just like you're hooking the next generation of users. You know what I mean? PlayStation's got to go out there and get the next generation hooked. You know what I mean? So it's a good move for them financially. I think it's a good move from them from a marketing standpoint. And by the way, they're getting probably, you know, they're probably getting social brownie points, you know, for giving away their games and all this stuff. Like, look, we're finally letting you do this, but at the same time making money hand over fist in the process. So it looks good, it pays good, and on top of that, it's probably going to move hardware for them too. So all around, Mike, I think this is a great move for Sony. I think what else are we missing here on this, Mike? I mean, with PlayStation PC, I mean, is there anything else that we haven't touched on?
Yeah, I can't think of anything. I mean, I think this really does just open up the doors for Sony to the point where, you know, maybe eventually this will happen for PlayStation Mac. Who knows?
PlayStation
Linux. I mean, you look at it, you know, there's a lot of different opportunities out there that there's no reason this code can't run on any other device, but it just comes down to where's the best bang for your buck. The PC is a huge market to enter. I mean, that's really it. So, I mean, I think we kind of covered it.
And by the way, Micah, that whole notion of PlayStation opening a, you know, Epic store or an Epic style store, right? PlayStation opening up their own store on PC, that's a $1 billion idea. I hope Sony's listening. I'm sure they've thought about it, but that's a tremendous, that is literally a bag of cash with Sony's name on it if they want it, right? But,
and I will say, if they do go down that path, I would appreciate just 0.1% of those of those profits. It's all I'm at. Just, you know, for the finder's fee. You know what I mean? It was just
one
kernel of an idea I had.
Exactly. But look, speaking of what PlayStation's doing right, and Micah, I'm excited that we haven't talked about this yet, even offline with respect to the state of play. Let's talk about what PlayStation's maybe doing wrong here, right? So all the things PlayStation's doing awesome. PlayStation just had a state of play, and the reviews are not necessarily the best, right? So topic two, state of play. This story from comicbook.com. Earlier today, PlayStation, well, I guess this would be a couple days ago at this point, but PlayStation streamed a new state of play presentation, and fans were underwhelmed, to say the least. The 20-minute video, mostly centered on smaller games coming to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, with the day's biggest announcement being the new entry from Square Enix Star Ocean series. While some of the featured games showed promise, many fans argued that they would have garnered a more positive reception had they been released as individual trailers. And essentially, fans were hoping to see something that lived up to the hype of a previous State of Play presentation, and most seemed to think this one didn't deliver. Fortunately, the future still looks bright for PlayStation as the year is quickly coming to a close. In 2022, we'll see the release of major first-party games like Horizon Forbidden West and God of War Ragnarok. Those future releases won't make fans happy for some time, but here's the hoping to see some big, exciting PlayStation exclusives, and we won't have to wait too much longer for them. Micah, so I think what the comic book story was saying here is that, you know, this wasn't the best, but let's not mince words here. The future of PlayStation is very bright. Did this state of play underwhelm you, or were you whelmed?
You know, it exceeded my expectations because I didn't see a single mention of Deathloop. So I was very happy about that. that, you know, we got to see other things. But I get that point of the feeling of being underwhelmed because I was a little underwhelmed. It's not like I don't want these games. I think they have a place in the PlayStation universe. I think they have a place within my palette whenever they launch. But I do get what people are saying. they want to see the horizon. They want to see the big. They want to see the big stuff, and you're not always going to get the big stuff. And so what I actually like is the fact that Sony has for 2 months in a row given us two different events. We had the showcase in September. We have the State of Play in October. So this is actually trickling some stuff, and some people might not like it. Some people are like, well, don't wake me up when Ragnarok comes. All right, you'll be sleeping a while, right? So this is actually good for you to know what is coming out. And there are a few titles in here that seem very interesting, ones I might actually get, and ones that, you know, I might be forced to get because they'll be freely available as well, too. So I think people need to look at this in the lens of, you know, go into it with no expectations and you'll never be disappointed.
You know, I when I think of this State of Play, Micah, what I'm immediately reminded of is just that something's better than nothing. I think that this State of Play is better than not having a State of Play. And for the record, I think there actually were some maybe not full-blown, you know, God of War Ragnarok-style bangers. There wasn't anything like that in there. But I think there were some moderate bangers in there, the first of which was, and I kind of want to just touch on, you know, maybe one item, or if there are two items that you really were drawn to in the particular presentation. The one that got me is one that honestly is really super exciting, which is Death's Door, because Death's Door has been rolling around on PC for a while, and it's from developer Acid Nerve. It's, if, by the way, if anyone is familiar with Titan Souls, Titan Souls is probably one of the best PS4. I mean, well, maybe not one of the best PS4 games, but it was a very, very strong indie PS4 game that I absolutely loved. Got the Platinum Trophy. If anyone knows, that's a really difficult one. But Acid Nerve. So they now come out with Death's Door. It's on PC. It's gotten tremendous reviews. Tremendous reviews. I think 9 out of 10 on Steam and all this stuff. So this is a very good game. It's also a very difficult game. It's one of these sort of, you know, top-down, you know, kind of deals. It looks like a fantastic game, and I'm super excited for Death's Door, Micah. Was there a particular game that you looked at that really caught your eye?
I like Death's Door. It's got the action RPG elements, which I certainly like. I like that top-down kind of isometric view of the game world. For some reason, I don't know why I like that. It reminds me of, like, I don't know, playing a board game or something, but it's obviously an action RPG. So it's really cool to see this. Good to know it has difficulty too, because it's very easy to just go through games and, you know, just kind of roll through it just because you can. But probably what kind of got me the most, that I was most interested in, not from necessarily I'll play it, but what kind of surprised me, was We Are OFK. So I didn't actually Google much about OFK, but my understanding is that they're a band out there, and right, this is about a biopic about the band called OFK, or maybe they're not actually a band, I don't know, but maybe they want to be a band, I don't know. But it just seemed, the way the trailer came in was very cool. You know, it was just, you know, somebody doing a voiceover saying, in a world of war where all there is war, you know, it was kind of like making fun of stuff. It had some humor to it. And I think this would be a very interesting game for people who like those narrative experiences. It seems like you go through a lot of struggles, which are the villain of the story, the feeling of imposter syndrome, heartbreak, miscommunication. I mean, this is the kind of thing that people who remember their teenage years or just their young adult years of, you know, that first time starting out and, you know, second guessing yourself, this is the kind of game that's perfect for them. And I think this is probably going to be a love letter to some people's, you know, lives when they first started out doing something, that, you know, this is just very much, a game for people who like that narrative experience. Maybe they like to watch CW shows. I don't know if I'll actually play this, but I was very interested in this because at first I thought maybe OFK is actually a music group. And then I thought, is this a blending of Sony Music and Sony PlayStation? Is this a crossover episode? But it doesn't seem like OFK is actually a band, but this seems to maybe open up the doors of adding music experiences to games. And I like that. I like adding music as a main element into games, because it definitely makes it unique, for sure.
To me, and I agree with what you're saying, Micah, I think it's also very interesting to sort of blend genres in that way, right? So in other words, well, what if we made an album a video game, right? So I very much like that. And I also really like the sort of the anything that sort of, you know, breaks down a genre in some way, like it's something that's trying to push the envelope in some way, do something different. I'm probably going to be a fan of it. When I saw the OFK thing, I felt it combined two games. It's almost like Night in the Woods, which if anyone's familiar with Night in the Woods, it's just, you know, a great indie game about these animals who live in a small town. It's a coming of age story. It's mostly about talking to your friends in your downtime and just, you know, learning about life and learning about these people and growing and knowing to love these people. And versus like Sayonara Wild Hearts, which was a really short indie game that basically just was a showcase for music. It's basically almost like a, you know, quick, you know, fast, furious, all about sort of the rhythm of the game. So that's kind of cool because they mentioned that there's like five levels and it's all to do with, you know, particular tracks off their EP. You know, I don't know, but it does look interesting, Mike. We'll have to keep our eyes affixed to OFK. The big game that was in there that we should touch on, we would be remiss if we didn't touch on, which is Little Devil Inside. Right, so Little Devil Inside was the one that I think a lot of people were looking forward to. They even sort of said right before it started, they were like, hey, we're showing a little bit of Little Devil Inside. I was really unfamiliar with the game, but I saw it. To me, it looked good. I thought it looked awesome. I liked sort of the different aspects of the game. Like, you know, you're riding the train and then you're, you know, sort of have this big top-down view and then there's combat. Micah, what did you think of Little Devil Inside?
I like the two blendings of this overworld, which kind of looks like a model, right? Like a train model almost.
I thought the same thing.
And then when it gets to the real world where you're actually running around, it was like, I didn't know what to think at first. It was like, all right, I do like this model view, but I don't want the whole game to be this. And it was like, okay, good, good, good. There's actually really good action sequences, it seems, to be able to do things. So I didn't get a good feel for what the gameplay was going to be like. Maybe I got distracted during this point, but it does seem like it's going to have a lot of different things, crafting, potentially some combat. I'm, you know, watching a few videos of him, a main character, going up towards an octopus. It does seem interesting. Yep, there's some combat in here for sure. So I think this is one of those games that I did not see who's making it. Neostream. So is this another PlayStation indie, I think? So this is actually probably going to be another good one that, again, where I remember there was article, you know, about how, you know, PlayStation has no love for indies when it comes to displaying them on the store. I think PlayStation has no love for indies that aren't good, right? This is probably an indie that is really, really good. It seems like it's going to come out for multiple consoles, but the fact that Sony's really pushing it means that they really believe in it, and they want it to be able to, you know, if you're going to get it on PS5. Hopefully that trophy list is, you know, chef's kiss here, because this does seem like a good game that is going to be fun to get through. And probably spawns off a sequel or two.
You know, it's weird, Mike, because some people don't like the way that PlayStation, you know, highlights indies, because it has this sort of tinge of haves and have-nots, right? So it has this sort of tinge of, you know, well, we highlight the ones that we like, right? So in other words, and some people feel like, oh, it's just you're highlighting the ones that are giving you money, or the ones who are, you know, the ones who meet certain criteria and all this stuff. And look, I get where that's coming from and all that stuff, because it's like, hey, why not my game? So why is Shuhei Yoshida not tweeting out my game? Why is my game not part of a state of play? I understand that, but here's the thing, Micah. I prefer it. I prefer, and this is something we actually talked about on the show a lot, which is that I want some level of curation as it relates to the PlayStation Store. I would much rather PlayStation handpick four or five indie games that are really top level or really have something interesting to say, or it's something where an expert, an industry expert like Shuhei Yoshida, a great example, because if he believes in these four or five games, I'll probably find one that I want to buy. I prefer that hand-picked curation over, say, PlayStation just going the Nintendo route, which is just we have an indie section and there's 7,000 games in there and go find the good stuff. And it's like, you know, you could sort it alphabetically. You'd be searching for hours. And you have no idea which one's trash and which one's actually good. So I kind of like the curation in the way that PlayStation's going to say, look, this is a game that we really believe in. We looked at it. We talked to the developer. We saw it behind closed doors, and we're here to tell you, you know, Little Devil Inside is going to be really good. And I like that, right? So one of the other things worth mentioning here, Micah, and then I'll throw it over to you to just sort of look, give any other ones that we haven't mentioned that maybe need mentioning. But the last one I wanted to mention is actually for free in November with PlayStation Plus, which is First Class Trouble. And I think that it's weird that Among Us now has its own like genre of games. And they said it, I wish I wrote it down. They said it during the show. It's a social, and I remember, it's a social deduction game, right? That's what Among Us, it's a social deduction game. But First Class Trouble, I thought it looked like an Among Us kind of ripoff, but I think, who cares, right? It'll be just as much fun as Among Us, right? You're walking around, someone is, it's a game where, you know, you're playing as, I guess, what appear to be these flight attendants. I couldn't even really tell. So, like, everyone's a flight attendant except for one robot. And, you know, you have to sort of sniff out the one robot, you know, a la Among Us. And it just looks like fun. Looks like a good multiplayer fun. We'll see how the online element of it goes, see how well people play together and all that stuff. But, Micah, the thing that got me is the price of free. Included in PlayStation Plus. I love it when PlayStation Plus launches games. It makes me way more interested in that game. Micah, what did you think of First Class Trouble?
I thought this might be interesting. I don't know if I'll play it because I've been shying away from multiplayer games because I hate all of humanity. No, I'm kidding. But, I mean, I think this is a good game for people who do like that Among Us. And I didn't even think of that. You know, and I played Among Us a lot this past year. With a lot of different people, and it very much does have that element of social deduction. That's definitely going to be this new genre. I think some people are going to try to go back to that genie and want to rub that lamp. And the fact that they're able to get this out for free, you know what? I will check it out. I mean, that's always going to get my attention. You tell me it's free. All right, I'm going to add it to my library and check it out. It does seem interesting. It's one of these games that's got an interesting universe. You think you're a flight attendant. Maybe you're personoids or mechanically engineered assistants, and their programming has been overwritten, right? So it's like, okay, I don't know what the story's about, but it seems like I have to figure out clues to figure out who's the sus person and then, you know, kick them off the island or something. So I think people will have some fun with this. Whether it will take off or not does remain to be seen. I will say it's interesting seeing a third-person action game where you're not actually going around killing people. You're just actually, you know, finding clues and things like that. So maybe this will spin off more maps and things like that. It'll be interesting to see how this pans out.
Yeah, and it's important to remember. I mean, just because Among Us was the first to do it, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the most successful because, you know, as everyone knows, right, Fortnite was not the first to do Battle Royale. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. And I think that, you know, First Class Trouble, they're going to take their swing at it. They're going to see if they can get, you know, some sort of movement or traction going here. I don't know how much traction this will get, but they're going to give it a try. They're going to see how it goes. We'll see how it is. And I'll probably give it a try just because I very much enjoyed Among Us. And so why not? I'll try an Among Us clone. Micah, I'll throw it over to you. I mean, is there anything out there that was, and I'm scrolling up and down kind of what was listed and what wasn't, Bugsnax maybe. Was there anything that we didn't address that you want to bring up here?
Not particularly. Death versus Let It Die isn't my style of game, to be honest. Definitely seems Battle Royale-ish. But it did remind me of Squid Game a little bit. Just this idea of televised, you know, death matches and things like that. So I'm interested to just watch from afar how that will play out. Because I know everybody's going back to that genie too, or that well, hoping they'll find magic there. But in this case, they're not going to find it from me. Not because, you know, I don't think it looks like a good game or anything like that. It looks like a great game for that type of gamer. But honestly, nothing else really stuck out at me. Bugsnax, new update. That's great for people like Bugsnax. Five Nights at Freddy's, a kart riding game. Until that's free, I'm probably not going to get that. And King of Fighters, not too interested in that one either. Although there is an open beta test, so maybe if I'm really interested, but I'm sure I'll find something else to play.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I was looking through, maybe Bugsnax was worth mentioning because I did get the platinum in Bugsnax. It was one of those rare PS5 launch games. It, you know, the only reason I played Bugsnax, let's be real, Micah, is because, you know, look, when you launch the PS5 and it's the first PS Plus game for PS5, I'm probably gonna play it, right? So, but I don't think it's worth going back. But anyway, Micah, that was the State of Play, and you know, look. Give us a shout if you feel like there was something we missed, but I think we got it good, Micah. Let's move on to topic three, which, by the way, speaking of great games, topic three is Returnal Game of the Year. This story from Push Square, right? Push Square did an interesting story that Returnal, in fact, won its first Game of the Year award. And I think, Micah, unless there's something I'm missing, I think that's actually the first Game of the Year award that was doled out this year. Right, so I don't know if there's been people doling out Game of the Year awards in September and June and stuff like that, but I don't think so. Right, so if this is in fact the first formal Game of the Year award, it belongs to Returnal. The story from Push Square. Could this be the start of a run for PlayStation 5 exclusive Returnal? Despite it only being the end of October, the Develop Star Awards were hosted in Brighton last night, and Housemarque's Roguelite taking home two of the big awards. They won Best Visual Artist and that all important Game of the Year. And it was a big night for Sony in general over at this particular award show, because Miles Morales won Best Audio and a couple others here, right? So obviously the timing of these awards means that nominees span both 2020 and 2021. So, you know, just based on where this award show is placed, right, they did include some of 2020 in there. But the winners were decided by a closed industry vote. So it's still a huge achievement for Returnal, for the Finnish firm. Sumo Digital, the team behind Sackboy A Big Adventure, among numerous others, won the award for Best Studio. So, I mean, Micah, this is interesting. Returnal winning Game of the Year, this particular award show, the Develop Star Awards, you know, it's British, and you know, it's not a super big deal, but it's a pretty big deal. Returnal winning the first, and that got me thinking, and therefore it got us thinking, you know, which is that, is Returnal the Game of the Year? I mean, if you're thinking about all the other games that came out, and I, by the way, I pulled up a little list here of the Metacritic best games. Micah, do you think Returnal is the best game of the year, or is it possibly something that we're not thinking of?
So that's a good question, because for me, having tapped out after the second biome, you know, it wasn't my game of the year because it wasn't my, it obviously wasn't my cup of tea. It was difficult. I liked the gameplay. I did like the gameplay a lot. And as a matter of fact, I might have to come back to the game, because recently Housemarque did just update the game to allow for something that's much requested, but some people might, you know, chagrin it a little bit, the idea of being able to pause mid run to be able to come back at a later point, so that way you don't have to keep your PlayStation on all the time and things like that. Obviously if you die, you go back, right? So maybe we'll have to come back to it just for that. But honestly, having played a few other games, I'm wondering how Returnal doesn't win. You know, I think Returnal is a great testament of Housemarque's transition from arcade studio to AAA 3D, you know, action, third person, you know, all buzzwords, whatever, developer, yeah, right?
Sure.
It's a huge transition. So even if it didn't win Game of the Year, it should certainly win Studio of the Year. So, thinking of potential contenders for the Game of the Year, well, you know, like who would they go against? It's like, it's hard to say, like what game, possibly Deathloop. But again, like Deathloop did score very, very well. And that's the kind of thing where it's like, you always feel like sometimes these award shows are political. you know, they just pay them off. I don't think that's really true, but I mean, there are very much pushes sometimes from studios to be able to do things. And it's one of those things where, like, Deathloop happened in September, Returnal happened in May, and, you know, or, you know, was it May or was it April? April, I think. And people are just mm-hmm. like, oh, I don't remember that game, you know? So it's like, it's hard to say, you know, what people may be thinking, and particularly with Halo around the corner, despite all the obvious signs of trouble there that, you know, you and I have kind of talked about, you know, certainly people are just going to instantly say game of the year as soon as it launches, you know, so it's hard to say. And it really, you know, one more thing to say here too, because there's a lot to say about what is game of the year, sure, is really who decides what is game of the year. You and I have been going off of the Game Awards, you know, because it's, you know, one of the premier events. But there's a lot of game of the year awards that show up throughout the year. And I think it's important to look at holistically, you know, every different you know, committee that's deciding it. The fact that Returnal has won one of the first ones is actually, you know, a good start for Returnal.
Well, I think this is the type of year where Returnal can win, right? And the reason why I think Returnal can win is just because this has been an extremely thin year for major AAA releases, right? So I think if Returnal came out last year, do I think it wins Game of the Year? I do not think it wins Game of the Year last year, right? So because there's no real AAA banger that it's going up against. There's no juggernaut this year. This is an open field. This is a more open field than I think we've seen in a really long time for Game of the Year. And Returnal can sneak absolutely right in there because I think it has the most polish. It has the best gameplay. It is, I mean, it's close to AAA. I don't know if you would call Returnal AAA. It's probably like platinum AA games. And especially now that Housemarque is part of PlayStation Studios officially, right? So, you know, maybe it really is AAA. I mean, I think if you're thinking about, right, and I'll help us with some competition here, right? So what is the competition for Returnal as it relates to Game of the Year? Man, I pulled up Metacritic, and I just right now as we're talking, I just scrolled through the top 100 games, the top 100 best rated games on Metacritic, and, you know, maybe Psychonauts 2, right? Maybe Psychonauts 2, maybe that's something. Microsoft Flight Simulator, maybe that. I don't know if that would technically win. Chicory, A Colorful Tale, which was a great indie game highlighted by Shuhei Yoshida. But I don't think that has the gravitas to overtake, you know, Returnal. Maybe It Takes Two. You know, I mean, look, this is kind of what it's up against, right? None of these games are games that maybe Metroid Dread, but that really wasn't even super well received. You know what I mean? So,
Ratchet. It's the kind of thing where when your team finally wins the Super Bowl, it's one of those things where it's like, well, they only won because everyone else sucked. You know? And it's not that these games sucked at all. They weren't bad games. It's just that there wasn't that juggernaut. There wasn't Tom Brady and the Patriots there, right? They weren't there in the Super Bowl that year. And so it's like, is that the problem? The fact that Naughty Dog is not in the running this year? Is that the problem?
No, I love yours.
I don't think
like so.
I think that's a good thing. Yeah, I think that's a good thing.
I love yours like this because it gives such a tremendous opportunity to someone who normally would never even get the time of day, right? So I love it, right? So, but also another interesting one would be, as you mentioned, Deathloop. I think Deathloop is serious competition. I also think that one I just saw here, which is interesting, a little bit of in-house fighting here. How about Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, right? Maybe Ratchet and Clank, I mean, visually speaking, visual stunner. Tremendous gameplay. I mean, game's a little bit on the easy side, but I mean, look, it's a great game. It's a little on the short side too, but look, this is, you would say, in a 9 out of 10 type game, right? I mean, maybe Ratchet and Clank sneaks in there, but I think, look, when you talk about the nominees for Game of the Year, I'm thinking Deathloop, I'm thinking It Takes Two, because of the whole, you know, co-op thing. I'm also going to include, by the way, I'm going to throw this one out there. It'll never win. And it won't even be nominated. No one will even mention it ever again. How about Persona 5 Strikers? I love that game. But anyway, but Mike, based on what we're hearing here, I mean, is there any other competition that I'm not thinking of here? Like maybe Yakuza Like a Dragon? That could maybe win Game of the Year.
Honestly, you're not mentioning Halo, and honestly, it's going to be nominated for Game of the Year, whether or not it is a good game or not. Honestly, it will be because it's just Halo, has prestige to it, you know, and it really depends when it comes out. I forget when Halo does come out.
I'm checking right now. I think they pushed it into 2022.
November 15th.
November 15th.
Wait, hang on. No, that's the original Halo. So if it is 2022, then maybe we don't have to worry about it this year. That's great.
Hold on. By the way, I mean, Halo release date is not something that I'm entirely tuned into. I thought, and again, Mike, if you're looking it up, that's great. I thought Halo was
December 8th, 2021. I honestly think it's going to be December games. I think we had one or two of those last year that might have qualified it for a game of the year type of contender. And honestly, December's way too late for it to be like the Game Awards game contender. So Halo Infinite seems more like a 2022 game of the year if it is actually good. So, I mean, when you look at the games coming out this year, I think we kind of mentioned it. I don't think there's anything else that's upcoming that could even come close to being game of the year. And this really does lead to the whole thing of, like, you know, it's certainly an off year where, you know, Tom Brady is injured. You know, he's not in the running this year, but he will be in a few years. So it's interesting to see what the game industry can produce. So you got Arkane Studios with Deathloop, you've got Housemarque with Returnal, and then everybody else picking up the scraps of what they can get.
I mean, you're talking about a great year for Microsoft to sneak in. Microsoft would love to win a Game of the Year award at the Game Awards. They would love that. That would be such a prestige hit for them. The one thing that they just get relentlessly battered over the head with is the fact that Sony has these prestige releases, and aren't they so polished? And, you know, these are 10 out of 10 critical games, real critical darlings. I mean, Microsoft would love it if they released Halo December 5th. Just sneak in there. Just go into the Game Awards and just walk out with the thing. That would be such a win for Microsoft. And look, I'm a big believer that Halo Infinite is in a little bit of trouble just based on, look, you can tell a lot by body language, just on the body language of the way that these studios are behaving and, you know, what they're saying and what they're showing and, you know, the fact that they're calling in reinforcements on the development squad. I think the game's in trouble. The fact that the campaign's like 8 hours long, doesn't even really look, again, doesn't have that polish. I don't know. But you're right, Mike, that is such a sleeper pick, because that thing, especially if the game releases and it gets, you know, good amount of critical momentum going, it could absolutely sneak in there. That's a great pick, Micah. But
yeah, I don't see anything else that's come out recently. Guardians of the Galaxy, maybe? I don't even know what the reviews are of that one. You know, and I know you and I are kind of sleeping on this one anyway, so it's like, eh. So,
well, last thing I'll mention here, Micah, which is the last thing I have for this particular topic, is look, let's just to one quick second, just to give a shout out to Returnal itself, right? Because ultimately, I think it well deserves Game of the Year. I don't think that it's a gimme. I don't think it's a layup. I don't think it's, you know, just kind of, you know, they're giving it to, you know, whoever's left standing. Returnal and Housemarque, and Micah, you know this, I was shouting Returnal well before the game released and all this stuff. I was really big on this game. Again, you can tell a lot from the posture, from the way that the body language of the way that the developer is behaving. Housemarque, you could tell that they knew that they had something, you know, and you could tell that, you know, they had these blog posts, these video blog posts coming out before the game launched. And it just, they were very confident in the product. So I think, and it shows. And Returnal has, it's I would say, my favorite game of the year. It would win my Game of the Year award, Micah, but we'll have to see how it shakes out. But I just want to, look, just to give a shout out to Housemarque, give a shout out to Returnal. We had a good running stretch here, Michael, on the show where we mentioned Housemarque, I think, every single episode for probably like 15 episodes.
I think it's a good point to point out that Housemarque is not paying us to repeat their names. Whether they're paying Joe secretly, I don't know.
Right.
But, yeah.
No, I'm not getting any paychecks from Housemarque. Not yet, at least.
Yeah, I think when we frame this, if we frame it in the context of Sony, what do they got to show this year? And it is Returnal. Sony has Returnal to show. Ratchet and Clank, you know, people loved it. I don't see it as a Game of the Year contender. I don't. But it's entirely possible it might show up there just as a fun option. But when it comes to what Sony first parties released, I think Returnal is what you show to the Academy.
Yeah, and I think it went best game of the year. Also, best acquisition of the year. Shout out to Sony for acquiring Housemarque, right? So, and by the way, it's a pretty good deal. I forget what they paid for Housemarque, but it wasn't, I can tell you this, it wasn't $7 billion. It was actually pretty reasonable. So good deal for Sony. Micah, anything else with regard to Returnal? Or I think we covered it all.
No, that's it for me. I think we're pretty good here.
Micah, look, this has been, by the way, just to recap, as we always do with the housekeeping, right? So again, thank you for listening. If you like the episode, make sure you subscribe, right? We're on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever podcasts are found. Make sure you give us a shout out. Give us a shout out on the podcast by giving us a positive review. And as well, look, find us on the socials, right? We're on all the socials at PlayNationPod, right? That is the Twitter handle. It's also the Facebook. It's also, you know, the Instagram, right? The Discord, right? Also, you know, find us on the Twitch, right? At PlayNationPod. And as well, I am on Twitter at Joe John Quinn. Micah, where can they find you?
MagicMicah85.
Micah, give us a little bit of a breakdown. What do you got going on for the rest of the week? What do you got going on later? Right. So what's Micah doing?
So, you know, I am playing a little bit of gaming. I'm going back to Red Dead for whatever reason. I think because the 3-year anniversary just came up, you know, and some people, you know, were definitely talking, you know, accolades of the game. But I'm actually open to some of the criticism of the game for sure. Definitely an overly ambitious old style of gaming for sure. You know, it'd be interesting to see what the future of gaming will be like in that kind of, you know, overly ambitious type of open world game where everything's more free flowing. So I'm looking forward to developing that myself and finding that I never will, because, you know, game development will certainly be something I'll be doing a little bit more of, playing around with it and really just honestly keeping myself very grounded, knowing I'm not creating a game of the year contender here. I'm literally drawing a sprite on the screen and that's it. Maybe he'll throw a fireball and maybe there will be more, right? There'll be NPCs. I have a lot of ideas in my head that I just want to get out. I just want to play. I want to do things. I want to publish to my GitHub, show people this is what I've done. And maybe somebody can be like, hey, you know what? I'm an artist. Maybe we can work together or something. I would love to be able to do that just because it's just something fun and extra to do. So you'll definitely be seeing me doing that more. More to come on this game jam, particularly if I'm interested in the theme, because that is the idea of the game jam, is to make a game in a month that goes along with the theme. So whether or not I create the sleeper hit of the year or if it's just a really easy demo to showcase my skills, either way, I've learned something and I enjoyed myself. That's what you can expect to see more from me.
Well, Micah, I'm expecting, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe if you make the game in time, right? So in other words, if you're doing it, you know, and you make the game in time, maybe the Game Jam game can be the game of the year. Maybe that could sneak in there past Returnal. You know what I mean?
You never know.
But yeah, Micah, it's good to sort of hear that just because ultimately, it is, in fact, good stuff. And by the way, I'm going to chalk this up to my second miscue. I have to shake off the rust here, Micah. I'm going to chalk this up to my second miscue of the episode, right? Which is that I didn't even ask us what we were playing at the beginning of the episode, right? So that's good to hear that that's what you're playing. Just to give a shout out to what I'm playing, I have been very, we'll say, sporadically, luxuriously, very sort of calmly and sort of, in a very sort of savoring way, I've been slowly playing through Tales of Arise, right? Tales of Arise, I have to give a shout out to this game. It's a phenomenal game. I very much like this. And shout out to Bandai Namco. I really regret not talking about this at the top of the episode, Micah, because I wanted to give major props to Bandai Namco. Two of the games that I played this year that are some of the best games I played this year were Scarlet Nexus and now Tales of Arise, right? So if Returnal was the best game I played this year, the second and third best games I played this year were certainly Scarlet Nexus and Tales of Arise and Tales of Arise in some sort of order. So I've been very sort of in the small amount of free time I've been having, I've been sort of playing through Tales, and you know, it's just that kind of a game because it's like there's nothing really out there else to play. Right, I was thinking about maybe picking up Chicory because that got really great reviews. It seems like a lot of fun. But I just needed a game that was just going to sort of last a long time and just sort of hang around and, you know, not be too intrusive, but at the same time be engaging. And it's just such a wonderful JRPG. I would say I'm maybe 30, 40 hours in, and it's very enjoyable. Highly recommend. If you're a JRPG nerd like me, then check out Tales of Arise. And beyond that, Micah, I don't know what else I've got going on. Just work and working a little bit more. I think that's about what's going on. Halloween's coming up. I don't know if you have any Halloween plans. Erica and I are going to be dressing as the twins from The Shining, right? The Grady twins, right? I think that's it, right? So we'll be dressing up as the Grady twins. That'll be a lot of fun, right? So I guess also you get the whole, you know, visual juxtaposition of her, right? You know, next to, you know, big burly me, right? So in other words, that's going to be a lot of fun. Are you doing anything for Halloween, Micah?
Oh, yeah. The kids are definitely doing some trick-or-treating. I think they're going to a different neighborhood this year. Leah and I, we do dress up every year just for fun. I think we are going to be Johnny and Baby from Dirty Dancing. So we always go with a different theme every year. We've been on a streak the past couple of years, so we're keeping it going.
That's awesome. And usually around Halloween, my friend Pat Lieb, shout out to Pat Lieb. He has his birthday this time every year. So usually Halloween party and Pat Lieb's birthday go hand in hand, right? So I will be certainly doing that, Micah. But look, thanks to everyone who's listening out there. Greatly appreciate it. Play Nation Podcast, we very much appreciate you listening, and we hope to speak with you next time. Have a great week, everyone.